Welcome to the conversation from a man's perspective. This is the place where we dialogue about religion, politics, relationships, dating, and social issues. The purpose of our conversations are to stimulate positive communication, thus creating a more harmonious atmosphere. Under the umbrella of Black Pearl Image Consulting, we also hold self-esteem building workshops with powerful motivational speakers to get you to the next level. Here at Black Pearl Image, we bring out the gem in you because we focus on the inner image first and the rest will follow. So check us out at blackpearlimage.com and book your next intimate conversation with one of our panelists, also a self-esteem building workshop with our motivational speakers. See you there. Conversation from a man's perspective. I am your host, Levanna Forrest, and my co-host, Darnell Ashton. Are you there, my sexy nephew?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody. I hope all is well.
Okay. We are very excited to share with you oh my gosh, I can't find an adjective. He is phenomenal. We have Chris Williams with us.
Definitely. Thank you, Chris, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Chris is a master musician, and I met Chris in Charleston, South Carolina, when I was visiting for my birthday, and he was with this wonderful band playing at the Fleet Landing, and I was just first overtaken by just the energy of the band and the energy of the crowd. We were eating oysters, having a wonderful time, and I'm gazing at each member of the band. And to my surprise, I had an opportunity to speak with Chris after the performance was over. So he agreed to meet with us here on Conversations with BBS Radio to share about his passion, to share about his the reasons why music is the thing that feeds his soul. So, Chris, again, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Chris, tell us first, where are you from?
I am from here in Charleston, South Carolina. I've been living here the majority of my life, actually. Moved about a bit, you know, being military and travels and everything like that. But Charleston's my home.
Charleston's your home. Where's your accent?
I don't have an accent because I wasn't born in Charleston, and I moved here, and I never developed an accent.
Wow, that's interesting. I have mine. I had to try to hide it just a little bit. It's there.
But it comes out when you get upset, right?
Yes, it does. It does. It does come out. Well, Chris, tell us, how did you know that music was the thing that you were born to do?
Wow. At an early age, I started playing music. I have a picture. I got my first drum set when I was 3 years old. One Christmas morning, I'll never forget that. One of my first and earliest memories, as a matter of fact. In fact, I have pictures of it, which is kind of funny. Here I am sitting behind this drum kit with this little kid with this big afro. And from then on, I knew music was what I wanted to do.
Wow.
And I picked up sax when I was like, I think it was eight or nine. And I've been doing that ever since. And it's my love, it's my passion.
Wow. Now, your voice is very beautiful. And I noticed that you were also singing for us. How did you know that singing was something that you could do as well?
Honestly, it just came. It was just something I just started doing. It wasn't the first thing I started, you know, because I used to sing as a kid, but I never really thought about singing. It was always, I wanted to be on the other side, you know, playing the music, playing instruments. And that's where I first started out. But then, you know, as I actually, whenever I got into high school, you know, I started discovering girls, and then that's when I picked up piano. And I figured, and I learned a long time ago, you know, girls like guys who can sit behind a piano and play for them and sing for them. And so I just started, I picked that up and went from there.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
I'm also a fellow musician myself. And
all right.
Well, I know that I'm not as good as you with the keyboard, but I'm definitely trying to sharpen up my skills for that same reason there.
That's a good reason.
The girls? Oh, my goodness, guys.
I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm sure Chris would agree. You know, just having, you know, passion for music, you know, in itself is, you know, pure motivation to, you know, to pursue trying to learn different instruments and just better your skills.
Absolutely. With me, the passion, that's that driving force that makes me want to be the best that I can be. And makes, you know, it's something that makes me want to learn. Like, I see a lot of young musicians out there today, and I listen to what they're doing. I'm listening and trying to learn from what they're doing because I don't want to be stagnant, and that passion keeps driving me to move forward so that I won't become stagnant in my craft.
Definitely.
You know, that's interesting. You said you won't become stagnant. You know, I went to a jazz concert last night, and there are some old school cats playing, and I'm telling you, the energy was like they were 19 years old. You know, one of the drummers, he was sharing that he played for James Brown and several other musicians in Harlem years and years ago.
Very nice.
But what was so fascinating, that genre of music still permeates in today's music. So, Chris, do you use the old school music, I'm going to say, to help you in the new sounds that you play?
Oh, my God, definitely. Because I grew up, when I first started playing saxophone, I studied the classics. You know, I got into more of the standard jazz, like Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, Coltrane, you know, those guys. But, you know, as I grew older and got into more of my, I have to thank my brother for this. He turned me on to more of the contemporary style, more fusion, modern jazz, like, for instance, Grover Washington Jr., David Sanborn, guys like that. And I try and use my influences from both, you know, the standard old school stuff to more of the newer modern fusion stuff today.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And you don't have your sax, do you?
I do not. I thought it was just going to be a speaking interview. Had I known, I would have had it.
We're not happy, but we have your voice, though. We can hear you sing.
Excuse me?
Jonell, do you sing?
Oh, wow. Maybe in the shower. I mean, I sing from time to time. It's just, you know, it comes out, but, you know, I feel the pressure at times, just like Craig may be feeling right now. You're
absolutely, man. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's
I was hoping for
a one of those personal things, I think, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hey, Craig, I have a question for you.
What
would you say inspired you to be all that you are today?
My biggest inspiration was my father.
Okay.
You know, coming up as a kid, I was fortunate enough to have a two-parent household. You know, a lot of kids can't say that. And I was blessed to have a strong parental background and upbringing, you know, both mother and father being there and guiding me along my way and encouraging me in my endeavors. Putting up with me when I was, you know, just starting out, hitting a lot of bad notes, not sounding too good. And, you know, I remember one thing my father told me as a kid that I didn't quite get until later on in life. He said, son, never let anyone tell you that you can't play, but never think that you can. Just meaning that, you know, don't think that you're all that, but don't let anyone tear you down and tell you that you can't do it. And I didn't get it at first, you know. Don't think you can play, but don't let anyone tell you that you can't. I was like, what does that mean? You know, here I am, a kid, like I was about 13 years old, I was like, I don't get it. Okay, yes, sir. You know, and then, you know, I got later in life in my 20s, I was like, man, that was one of the wisest things anyone's ever told me.
Wow. It's pretty deep.
Yes, it is. Well, Chris, describe yourself to us in one word.
One word. Driven.
Driven.
Yes. I'd have to say driven.
Would you say your father? Would you say your father's words help you to be driven?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because, you know, I'm a very competitive person. And, you know, not that music is a competition, but I didn't want to be, you know, known as a weak link. I wanted to strive and be just as good as the next person. You know, I didn't want anyone to outdo me. I wanted to be right there. I was like, I got to practice. I have to stay on top of my game. I can't fall to the wayside. Because if you do, that's when the calls stop coming. That's when you stop getting work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Craig. Do you believe Craig. Do you believe that it was your passion or education that pushed your mastery in music? Or was it, you know, both of them together that created the musician that you are today?
I would have to say it was the passion first, although the education really helped a lot. But because of that passion, it drove me to wanting to learn.
Definitely.
You know, because some guys are there are so many musicians out there that are just so talented. But, you know, they don't read. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I know some guys who can play circles around me but can't really read. And that's not a problem, because they're just that talented. But I knew I wanted to be able to read and be educated on the music so that I can, you know, someone call me for a gig where I don't know the music, but they just put a piece of sheet music in front of me, I can just go ahead and read it and play the gig, whereas there's no music and I can hear what's going on. But I have to say my passion drove me to learn, to get my education so that I could be a more well-rounded musician, the musician that I am today.
Definitely, definitely. I'm glad you put it like that, Craig, because, I mean, like you said, of course, you know, the passion can be there for something or for anything that you may choose to endeavor in. But you also want to have a foundation of education in whatever you're pursuing as well, you know, just so you can know, you know, the history of what you're pursuing and, you know, maybe how some of the forefathers may have done it before, you know, you can do it yourself. So I definitely
absolutely
breaking that down like that.
Absolutely. You know, I look back at the guys before me, the guys that I learned from, and, you know, they stressed me, always try to learn more, always, never stop learning. You know, never stop learning. That passion will drive you to never stop learning. You could never get too old to learn, to do something new, and just keep striving.
Right, that's awesome. I'm going to ask Chris to accept our apologies. Ashton Darnell, his name is Chris. But, I've been hearing Craig, and he is so gracious and such a gentleman. He didn't want to correct you, but his name is Chris. And now Craig. And Chris, thank
actually,
you for
you know,
being funny
so story kind. About that. Funny story about that. You know, everyone has this one uncle. Every family has this one drunk uncle. And,
yes.
I have one. You know, my family may have a couple. But however, my one uncle, God rest his soul, my Uncle Rudolph, used to always call me Craig. And so I just got used to it.
Hey,
that's my one drunk uncle, God rest his soul.
Oh, my goodness. So maybe he's speaking from the grave, and that's why Ashton Darnell is calling you Craig.
I will take that wisdom all day. I will take that wisdom any day. I apologize, Chris. I got you, partner.
That's okay. It's all good.
Okay, currently right now, Chris, you're with a band called Plain Jane.
Yes.
Tell us about how you met and how long have you guys been together?
Plain Jane has been together. Actually, Plain Jane started back in 1997, which actually is the first year I started growing my dreads. But in 1997, actually, Plain Jane started as a joke because it was members of different bands we got together. We were members of different original bands, and we got together and started doing cover music just, you know, to make a little extra money and just go out, have fun, goof around. And all of a sudden, it just became bigger. Like, there were members from, like, four different groups, and we got together, and eventually we stopped doing our original bands and just did Plain Jane full-time. And there are three original members from Plain Jane, which is myself, Scott Sane, and Trey Stump, nicknamed Stump Smith. The three of us were in our original band, The Pondering, which was back in the mid-90s, and we're the only three original ones from Plain Jane now. We've been together, well, Scott, myself, and Trey have been together since, I think it's 95, 96, for a long time.
Yeah, longevity. Let's see if we can hear a little bit of Plain Jane. We'll see if Doug can find some Plain Jane and let us know when it's time to hear a little bit of what you do. But while he's doing that, Plain Jane is the name of the band.
Plain Jane.
Any song?
Yeah, and it's P-L-A-N-E. Okay. Because there's also another Plain Jane with A-I-N.
Hey, by the way, Chris, that's
yes.
That's a pretty fly name that you guys came up with as well. Plain Jane Rocks.
Huh? Yeah. It was kind of like an oxymoron, the name Plain Jane, because we're anything but Plain Jane. We do everything from country to rock to hip-hop yeah. to R&B to pop to jazz, you name it. And our song catalogs bands from the 60s to today. And it's like we're anything but Plain Jane. Now it's very wild. We have a song catalog close to maybe 100 songs, and we've been doing it for so long, you know, you accumulate a lot of songs through the years. You do a lot of weddings and stuff like that. But the name came is, you look at the group, and we're anything but Plain Jane. It's kind of like an oxymoron. It is an oxymoron, actually. And because we have different backgrounds. Everyone comes from different backgrounds. I come from a guy's R&B gospel background, whereas guys come from rock, Latin, and so forth. And we come together, and it works.
I'm not trying to be rude and say to the girl I feel you. The way you do the things you do reminds me of my last coup. That's why I'm on the big grill, trying to get to the hotel. Must be a football coach when you got playing field. Baby, give me that, and let me give you that. Running her head through the fro, my sales went low. Your body said,
bring it out.
Stewart to R. Kelly to the Temptations to Al Green.
Definitely.
Wow. And you're right. Plain Jane is definitely an oxymoron. You guys are extremely diverse.
Thank you.
Everyone, if you are listening or if you'll be listening to the archives, Plain Jane is for hire. They play for every party, wedding band, I mean weddings, whatever you like. They will travel. So go to Plain JaneRocks.com. That's P-L-A-N-E, Jane, J-A-N-E, rocks.com. Call them up, send a comment, let them know what you're hearing, and they'll love to hear from you. But right now, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more conversations from A Man's Perspective.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for joining in. Today we have Mr. Chris Williams joining us. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Definitely, definitely. In earlier conversations, you mentioned that you play for your church. As well,
yes.
We know that you have your band, Plain Jane Rocks.
Yes.
Chris, do you ever find a conflict in your music career versus church principles?
Well, you know, there can be, but, you know, I'm using the great equalizing common denominator to a lot of things. Like when you talk about, I have conversations with people, you know, who are very religious, say that, you know, the jazz is of the devil. But I mean, my thing is take the song Amazing Grace and don't put any words to it and just play a solo, play saxophone over it. It's jazz, but it's still a gospel song. So therefore, you can't look at it in that connotation. I think you look at music as being music. And of course, there's some music that's a little more risque, I should put it, like the other song that was played earlier. But, you know, with that, you know, that's just something I don't really do. So, you know, I have no real feeling about that. But, yeah, sometimes there can be a conflict of interest. But, you know, you have to separate and realize that what you're doing is you're playing music.
Definitely, definitely. I definitely have to agree with you there. You know, sometimes it's kind of tough for me to I guess kind of stand there and listen to people, you know, be judgmental or, you know, criticize another for, you know, things that they may partake in. As far as I believe, you know, it's up to the individual to know that they're doing right, you know, in their aspects of life. And as long as you're doing right, you know, I don't think that you should judge other people for things that they're doing, because, you know, you're not there to determine if someone else is, you know, righteous by what they choose to do in life. So.
Absolutely. I'm the music director and organist at my church. And, you know, when I'm in church, I'm ministering with my music. You know, I realize that what I'm doing is I'm ministering through my music when I'm there. And you know, it's all about that mindset. You have to realize that, and you have to, you know, abide accordingly.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely understand. Well, Chris, would you say that is, you know, sometimes, that I do know that, you know, you're on the road from time to time, and, you know,
yeah.
You know how that can be. How do you handle the fame and temptations that may come with it?
Man, I tell you, it's rough. You know, you just have to be a strong individual and know what you want and what you don't want. And, you know, you just got to be strong. And it's tough, though. I'm not even going to lie. You know, being on the road can be a daunting task, to put it lightly. And, because even with the, you know, the good things comes the bad. You have to take the good and the bad. But it's just, you know, you just have to be strong, and, you know, you have to have a strong will.
Definitely.
To do right from wrong, just like in life, period. You know, plus, you know, I was raised right. You know, my parents raised me right, and I know right from wrong. So, therefore, I always think of myself, you know, what I'm doing on the road is not only a reflection of me, it's a reflection of my parents and how I was raised. So I don't want to bring any dishonor to them. So
definitely. Yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying and where you're coming from, because, you know, I was raised, you know, to be accountable for my actions, you know, so
absolutely.
No matter where you're at, you know, I guess if you're going to do something, or if you're going to get into some trouble, you're going to do it at home, or you're going to do it away. Regardless, so, you know,
absolutely.
If you're on the road, it doesn't change too much. You're still the same person. I definitely understand that. Well, man, we've had a talk. We had a chance to talk about, you know, some of your influences and some of your favorite artists. And I like to actually play a couple of clips from some of your favorite artists. I think we'll start off with. Well, you know what? You can start us off. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan.
Okay.
One of my biggest influences. I'm a big fan of his work. I look at his total package. He's a great writer. He's a great singer. He's a great musician.
Definitely. What would you say one of your favorites from the infamous Stevie Wonder is?
Well, there's so many to choose from, but probably my all-time favorite Stevie Wonder song is probably As.
Definitely. Hey, can we have a clip played of Stevie Wonder As, please?
As around the sun, the earth no seems revolving, and the rosebuds know the bloom in early May. Just as hate knows love's a cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always. As now can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day.
Yeah, Chris, I have to agree with you, man. That's beautiful.
Man, I love that song.
Yeah, man.
The whole meaning of it, the words, everything, that's just a great song.
Yeah, definitely soulful, man. When I hear that, man, for a brief second, I thought I was outside, maybe at the beach or something with the wind blowing through my hair.
There you go. It's one of those songs that puts you in a good mood. There's songs out there that when you hear it, you can't help but smile. And that's one for me. That song always makes me feel good, puts a smile on my face. It's basically saying, you know, no matter what, until the end of time, there's one confident, that is, I will always be loving you. I mean, that's powerful. That's a powerful lyric.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. I definitely have to thank Stevie Wonder for all that he's done. Such an amazing artist. Such an amazing
Absolutely.
Artist.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, not rushing down the list. You also mentioned Donnie Hathaway, a song for you.
Song for you, one of my favorite songs. Probably one of my three favorite songs of all time.
Okay. This is on Chris Williams' top three playlist, Mr. Donnie Hathaway.
Absolutely.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs. I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you.
Oh, man, that's pretty deep.
Yeah man, that's a powerful song there. That is a powerful song. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of relate to it being a musician. You know, when he starts out, his first line is, you know, I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs, made some bad rhymes, you know. And being a musician, being on the road, and I mean, that's, I can relate.
Definitely.
I can relate.
Definitely, definitely. Okay. You also mentioned Mr. David Sanborn. And you know what, I've actually listened to him myself before, man. He's a great saxophonist.
Yes, he is.
Straight to the heart. This is a beautiful
one. Straight to the heart.
Yeah, I have to say I admire this one as well.
I love that song.
Oh, wow.
That song, the thing I love about David Sanborn, is that, like I said, my brother got me into more contemporary jazz, and he was one of the first artists to introduce me to, and I'll never forget this because it was a Christmas, and I got my first ever Walkman. And I didn't have any cassettes, so I took one of my brothers, and I took his David Sanborn, and it was that cassette. And
wow.
I played it till I wore it out. And
wow.
The thing I loved about David Sanborn being a sax player is, you know, stylistically, is that even on a song like that, which is pretty much a ballad, a mid-tempo ballad, he still has this edge. You can always tell his style, tell his tone. He has
mm-hmm.
this real edge to his tone. Even in ballads, he attacks it. And you can just feel it. It's like, ugh.
Truly amazing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I had a chance to, I met him and I've seen him live a couple times, and he's a great saxophone.
Definitely, Chris. Okay, moving along. Mr. Gerald Albright, You Are My Love. I also had a chance to listen to this one. This is a nice piece as well.
Oh, yeah, this is very nice.
Thank you.
And if I knew how to play the saxophone, man, I play that for my lady, you know, let her know that she's
singing. I'm going to tell you, man, I play that song. That's one of the songs that's in my set list on my jazz gigs, and I love playing that song. I'm a huge Albright fan because he plays in the upper register. He's so fluent. I mean, all the way around, he's just so good, so smooth. As a matter of fact, I opened for him, my group opened for him last summer. It was actually at the Charleston Jazz Festival, and it was him, Mindy Hebert, Dave Koz, and Richard Elliott. We opened for them at the Jazz Festival. Yeah, it was a really strong group, and it was really good. Plus, you know, I'm a huge Albright fan because not only is he a great saxophone player, he's also a great bassist. Little known fact, he actually was Anita Baker's music director while playing bass for her.
Really?
So he was her MD playing bass. Yes, he's just that much of a beast on the as he is fact.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's something I strive for because I like to be just as proficient on piano and keyboard as I am on sax. And, you know, even though that's my secondary instrument, sax is my primary. But, you know, it's just being able to do both at a high level is what I strive for, like him.
Definitely, definitely. It's definitely inspiration. Okay, we got one more here. Last but not least, of course, Mr. Charlie Parker, Scrapple from the Apple.
The Bird. Junior year in college, my saxophone teacher had me study Charlie Parker for the entire year. I've always been a huge Charlie Parker fan, but until I really got to delve into it like I did, I mean, I really have appreciation. No one, in my opinion, bops better than he does. I mean, no one. I mean, he's just, in my opinion, arguably one of the greatest saxophone players of all time. Him and Coltrane are two of my all-time favorites. And plus, this is my roots. This is what I started listening to. This is this came from my father. Also, you know, I started listening to more of the straight ahead standard stuff. You know, getting my roots, and this is just my roots.
Wow, yeah. You have some very, very strong roots.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to your inspirations, Chris. And now I can understand why you are the master. Everyone, let me remind you, we are listening to Mr. Chris Williams from Charleston, South Carolina. He is currently playing with Plain Jane Rocks in Charleston, South Carolina. They are for hire. And Chris also plays jazz on a few nights a week. So if you want just plain old jazz, via sax, keyboards, call him up. He'll be more than happy to accommodate you.
Absolutely.
But I have to ask you our relationship question. As you know, Conversations from a Man's Perspective is founded on how we can better communicate together. So before we walk away from the air, give the ladies a tip. What can you give the single ladies or the married ladies? Any words of advice or words of wisdom? You've traveled, you've seen much. Tell us the thing that always ponders your mind when you see the ladies.
Wow, that's such a loaded question. Well, one of the best pieces of advice I can give is, you know, I'm going to take it back to the biblical story. Those who are looking for husbands, you know, I'm not married, but however, I know that the Bible says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Therefore, that's saying that the husband has to, the man has to find the woman, but the woman has to make herself available. Now, when I'm saying not available, I'm not talking about dressing raunchy or being ratchet or anything like that. I'm talking about just making herself showing that she is a good and virtuous woman, and I promise you that man will find you. There is someone out there for everyone.
Awesome.
And, yeah, that's just one piece of advice. I can go on and on about that whole thing. Because I'm just telling you, just from my personal experience, I found it, you know, because of my job, I work nights. And most people have 9 to 5s, whereas I like to say I have a 9 to 5 also, but it's 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. And so a lot of times that doesn't quite work. So therefore, that's whenever you got to get into. This is for, I'm going to say this for anyone who's dated a musician, who's dating a musician currently. You have to be able to compromise. You have to be able to do something like, you might not be able to go out to dinner, or your weekends might not be there. But however, one night a week that you're off, devoted totally to that person. Instead of, you might not be able to go out to dinner at night, do lunch during the day. It's just so many things. It's a give and take. And I find that a lot of people want to take but don't want to give. And you have to be able to have to do 50-50, give and take. And compromise, you have to be able to work together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I always say the best dates are breakfast. I love breakfast
dates. Absolutely. Breakfast is so much fun.
Yes. Well, Chris, we are out of time, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us on Conversations. And
thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. And maybe we will have you back very soon. Yes?
I would love to. Yes.
With the sax?
With the sax. With the sax.
She's not going to let you get away without performing, Chris, definitely.
You know what? Next time, I promise.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Everyone, all right. You have a good night. Do you want to shout out your good night?
Hey, I definitely appreciate, and we all appreciate our audience for tuning in. Without you all, we wouldn't be here. And hey, Chris, just once again, man, thank you so much, you know, for joining us today and, you know, sharing your playlist with us. I definitely have a few additives to my playlist now. Definitely want to thank you for that.
Cool. Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it, and hopefully my words can touch someone and inspire them, you know, to be the best that they can be.